This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala, amma ba'd. Today's khatira, I will do something different. I had a question a few days ago about the concept of qunut in witr, and if we could go over what we recite when we make the dua. And so today, inshaAllah ta'ala, what I will do is I'll summarize some of the du'as that we say in the witr salah. And realize that the witr salah is actually technically independent of the du'a al-qunut. That our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the point of witr was to be an odd prayer, not necessarily to have a qunut in it. And therefore, the four madhahib actually have different positions about having a qunut in the witr. Those of the Hanafi background, they're very familiar with witr being associated with qunut. Qunut is only in the witr salah. But those brothers from the Shafi'i background, when do the Shafi'i brothers and sisters make qunut? Salat al-Fajr, right? This is Salat al-Fajr. The Fard of Fajr in the Shafi'i madhab, qunut is done in Fajr. And other madhab have other rulings. So, inshaAllah ta'ala, the correct position is that qunut, the dua, can be done at any time. And the Prophet ﷺ sometimes did it in Fajr, sometimes in Maghrib, sometimes in Isha. And also it is permissible to do in Witr. And we learn from the Sahaba and Tabi'un that they would like to perform the qunut in Salat al-Witr in the month of Ramadan especially, and especially in the last half of the month. So they make an emphasis that at least the last half of the month, they have a dua every single witr. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we have done many years ago, maybe some of you remember, he actually did not really leave for us the proper method, or I shouldn't say that, but I should say, he only prayed Taraweeh twice. He only prayed Taraweeh twice. And then he didn't pray it for a third time because he did not want the Ummah to think it is obligatory. So he showed us that you can pray Taraweeh and then left it at that. So we don't have details about Witr and about what he did in that particular evening. But the Sahaba after him and the Tabi'un, they were the ones who began praying 8 or 20 rak'ah. That's where the ikhtilaf comes from. Some prayed 8, some prayed 20. And also amongst themselves, they began doing the dua inside of the witr, the qunut inside of the witr. And it has become the custom now across the Muslim globe that witr salah in Taraweeh, that qunut is done. And as for the wordings, there is nothing explicit from the Sunnah because our Prophet ﷺ did not do that type of witr. But what has happened is over the course of centuries, Muslim scholars have simply added together prophetic du'as. And the most of what we hear every night is taken, cut and paste from a hadith. So this du'a is taken from Bukhari, that du'a is taken from Sunan Abi Dawood, a third du'a is taken from Tirmidhi, and we have now a set du'a. This du'a is not coming in its full form from the Prophet ﷺ. Rather, we have cut and paste here and there. We have prophetic du'as, Quranic du'as, and it's just become the staple and the norm. And of course, it is well known that you can add your own du'as as well. That's why if you listen to any famous of the Qur'an of the world, any witr you go to in many parts of the world, the imam will just from himself make a du'a from the heart. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. And some of the phrases we'll go over today in a famous hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad in volume 3, page 245, in the Musnad of Al-Hasan ibn Ali, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the Musnad of Imam Ahmad narrating from Al-Hasan ibn Ali, the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ. And Al-Hasan ibn Ali only has around 10 hadith narrated from him. This is one of them. In fact, this is the first one in the Mustad. Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, عَلَّمَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَلِمَاتٍ أَقُولُهُنَّ فِي قُنُوتِ الْوِتْرِ. The Prophet ﷺ taught me words that I should say in the qunut of witr. So these are the words that the Prophet ﷺ taught his own grandson, Al-Hasan. And Al-Hasan was how old when the Prophet ﷺ died? Who remembers? We talked about this. 7, 8 years old when the Prophet ﷺ passed away. So Al-Hasan said, my grandfather taught me this dua. Allahumma hdini fi man hadait, wa afini fi man afait, wa tawallani fi man tawallait, wa barik li fi ma a'tait, wa qini sharra ma qadait, fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk, innahu la yadhillu man walait, tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alait. And therefore 90% of the times when we begin our dua al-qunut, we begin with this. Right? Allahumma hdina fi man hadait. So what does this mean? Allahumma hdina fi man hadait. Oh Allah, guide us. Ihdina siratul mustaqim. Guide us along with all of those whom you have guided.
O Allah, the righteous people that you have guided, make me from those righteous people. Allahumma hadina fi man hadait, wa afina fi man afait. And grant us... Now, afia is a very difficult word to translate into English. And what it means is, you are free from calamity. Afia, you're not suffering from a calamity. This is what afia means. And it is reported from the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Abbas. He said, O Messenger of Allah, teach me a dua that I can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ said, ask Allah for afia. Abbas said, oh, Ya Rasulullah, certainly there's something more than this. And the Prophet ﷺ said, there is, ask Allah for afia, for there is nothing better than afia. Meaning, you don't want to be tested. You don't want to be tried. Afia means you're free of afflictions, free of turmoil, free of stress. Afia means you're peaceful, you found happiness. This is what afia means. So the Prophet said, there's nothing better than afia. When you get afia, that means you don't have any problems, you don't have any stress, you don't have any financial, you're just living alhamdulillah, comfortably worshipping Allah. This is afia. So, wa'afina fi man afait. And O Allah, grant us protection from calamity, along with all of those whom you have protected from calamity. وَتَوَلَّنَا فِي مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتِ. And tawalla means to protect. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Wali is of the names of Allah. Tawalla is the action of becoming wali. وَتَوَلَّنَا فِي مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتِ. And O Allah, cause us to be protected amongst those whom you have also protected. Meaning, O Allah, make us amongst the guided. Make us amongst those who have no problems and afflictions. Make us amongst those whom you protect. وَبَارِكْ لَنَا فِي مَا أَعْطَيْتِ. And give us barakah in all that you have given us. And barakah, as I've said many, many times, means ziyadatul khayr. Whatever benefit is extended. So, we say in English, the dollar amount is stretched. Money that has barakah means you gain more from it than the guy who has no barakah. Your $100 seems to go a long way. Allah has put barakah in it. Time that has barakah, you get more done. Wealth that has barakah, health that has barakah, life that has barakah. So some of our scholars, they wrote literally hundreds of volumes. You wonder how could they have written? Their life had barakah. Their life had barakah. Because one lifetime they could literally write shelves and shelves of books. You wonder how did they do this? Because there's barakah. So, وَبَارِكْ لَنَا فِي مَا أَعْطَيْتِ. Anything you give us, O Allah, give us with barakah. You give us $10, put barakah in it. You give us 1 hour extra, put barakah in it. We want Allah's barakah. And that's why at the end we say, تَبَارَكْتَ وَتَعَالَيْتَ. Because tabaraka means barakah comes from you. وَقِنَا شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتِ. And save us from all the evil that you have decreed. All evil that happens is Allah's decree. Save us. وَقِنَا شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتِ. Any evil, any calamity that has been decreed, save us from that. We don't want any calamity. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْضِي وَلَا يُقَضَى عَلَيْكَ. You are the one who decrees, and no one has the power to decree against you. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْضِي. You are the one who decrees. You are the one who says, كُن فَيَكُون. As we recited in Surah Yasin right now. You are the one who says and it happens. And no one has the power to legislate against you. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْضِي. You are the one who has qada. And qada, judgment, ruling. وَلَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْكَ. No one can pass against you. Right? إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتَ. He, this is a rule from Allah, He never humiliates the one whom He has chosen. Who has chosen Allah and Allah has chosen him. إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ. ذِل is to humiliate. إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتَ. He does not humiliate the one that He has chosen, or one can say, one has chosen Allah. So the one who has a relationship with Allah will never be humiliated. تَبَارَكْتَ رَبَّنَا وَتَعَالَيْتَ. تَبَارَكْتَ means all barakah comes from you. تَبَارَكْتَ means there's no evil ascribed unto you. تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. تَبَارَكَ means to you belongs nothing but good and praise and khair and barakah. And no evil can be ascribed unto you. So تَبَارَكْتَ وَتَعَالَيْتَ. and ta'alayt is a similar to tabarakta, that you are the most exalted of those who are exalted. You are the highest of the high, and you are the highest of the high from having a partner, from having a son, from having any equal. Ta'alayt, you are above any evil that they ascribe unto you. So this is one dua that is mentioned in the Musnad Imam Ahmad, and typically we begin it our du'as with this, and most of the Aimma do, because Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib literally said, the Prophet ﷺ taught me phrases to say in the Qunut of Witr. So from this we add this in the beginning. And time only permits me to go over one more hadith, and the fact of the matter is all of the du'a al-Qunut, there's lots of phrases, we don't have time to go over all of them. But one other hadith which was very common as well, that we mention it in our Qunut, is reported in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, volume 5, page 528, hadith number 3502. And this is a hadith from Ibn Umar radiallahu an. And this is not dealing with Qunut, it's just a dua. And most of the du'as that we say in the witr, they're just found in the books of du'a. Our Prophet would make this du'a, that du'a. So we put it together, so we have a prophetic du'a. And this one goes as follows, that Ibn Umar said, it was very rare that the Prophet ﷺ would ever leave a gathering without making this du'a. It was very rare that he would leave a gathering without making this du'a. What is this du'a? Allahumma qsim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana, in this ma yahulu baynana wa bayna ma'asik, and we say over here ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asiyatik. Oh Allah, assign for me a fear of you. Iqsim means to assign. Give me a share. Iqsim lana min khashyatika. Give me a share of your khashya, of your fear. How much share do I want? Ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asiyatik. Enough that will cause me to stop committing sins. Allahumma qsim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi. Hala is to have a barrier. Ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asiyatik. Give me enough fear of you to stop committing sins. Okay? So that's the first dua. And then, وَمِن طَاعَتِكَ مَا تُبَلِّغُنَا بِهِ جَنَّتَكَ. Give me enough of worshipping you, ta'a, so that I can get into Jannah. So I want enough fear to stop committing sins. And I want enough ta'a, ta'a means ibadah, worship, to get into Jannah. وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُهَوِّنُ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا مَصَائِبَ الدُّنْيَا, or in this version, مُصِيبَاتِ الدُّنْيَا, both are allowed. And enough yaqeen. Yaqeen means what? Certainty, faith. Enough yaqeen to make all of the calamities of this world become trivial. وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُهَوِّنُ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا مَصَائِبَ الدُّنْيَا مُصِيبَاتِ الدُّنْيَا. The musibah of the dunya, we want to have so much faith that it just dissolves in front of that yaqeen. Right? So look at these beautiful three phrases. Enough khashya to not sin. Enough ta'a to enter Jannah. And enough yaqeen to withstand the pains of this world. That's all we need. That's all we need. That's all we need. And that's what this dua begins. Give us enough khashya to stop committing sins. Give us enough ta'a to get into Jannah. And give us enough yaqeen to make all the problems of this world seem trivial unto us. وَمَتِّعْنَا اللَّهُمَّ بِأَسْمَاعِنَا وَأَبْصَارِنَا وَقُوَّاتِنَا مَا أَحْيَيْتَنَا or أَبَدًا مَا أَحْيَيْتَنَا. And O Allah, bless us. مَتَّعَ, allow us to enjoy. مَتَّعَ, allow us to enjoy. أَسْمَاعِنَا and أَبْصَارِنَا, our hearing and our seeing, and quwwatina, our strengths, our mental and our physical strength, as long as you cause us to live. So we don't want to be deprived of hearing. We don't want to be deprived of seeing. We don't want to be deprived of physical and mental faculties. We don't want that. We seek Allah's refuge, as our Prophet ﷺ did. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an uradda ila ardhal al-umr. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from being allowed to live to a decrepit old age until I become senile. We don't like that. We don't want it. If it so happens in our family members, it's our wajib to take care. And it doesn't mean, astaghfirullah, that Allah is displeased. But we don't like it, do we? None of us wants to live to that age. So as long as you allow us life, oh Allah, make us strong. We can take care of ourselves. Make us mentally stable. Make us, bless us with ears and eyes to see and to hear. وَمَتِّعْنَا اللَّهُمَّ بِأَسْمَاعِنَا وَأَبْصَارِنَا وَقُوَّاتِنَا أَبَدًا مَا أَحْيَيْتَنَا. As long as we're allowed to live. وَجْعَلْهُ الْوَارِثَ مِنَّا. Now this phrase, it has two meanings to it. Both are valid. وَجْعَلْهُ الْوَارِثَ مِنَّا means, and cause these faculties to live on as inheritors for us, meaning, let us die before you take these faculties away. Let us die before you take these faculties away. And this really shows us what is truly precious for us is not our wealth. It is our physical strength, our eyes, our ears, our hearing, our intellect. This is what is our health. Our health is far more precious than our wealth. And unfortunately, many of us, we don't think of this. We think wealth is, and we ignore health. And our Prophet ﷺ clearly tells us that health is far more precious than wealth. And there's a famous narration of Al-Hasan al-Basri, that a man came to him and said, "Oh Hasan al-Basri, I'm miskeen, I'm faqir, make dua that Allah gives me something. I have nothing. So Al-Hasan al-Basri looked at him, and he was a young man, strong man. And he said, "Would you give me 10,000 dinars in order that I take your eyesight away?" He said, "Of course not." "Okay, would you give me 10,000 if I can take your ears away?" "No, I'm not going to give you 10,000. Would you let me give you 10,000? "Would you sell your strength for 10,000 dinars?" "I wouldn't do that." And he kept on asking him various faculties that he had, until finally Al-Hasan al-Basri said, "I see you walking around a multimillionaire and you're complaining you have no money. I see you with so much and you complain you have nothing. You have the real wealth of intellect, of health, of strength, and you're saying, I don't have. Thank Allah that you have these things." This is وَمَتِّعْنَا اللَّهُمَّ بِأَسْمَاعِنَا وَأَبْصَارِنَا وَقُوَّاتِنَا أَبَدًا مَا أَحْيَيْتَنَا وَاجْعَلْهُ الْوَارِثَ مِنَّا. The other meaning of وَاجْعَلْهُ الْوَارِثَ مِنَّا means, "And O Allah, make these things memories for later generations," meaning our prestige, our legacy should remain after we go. Leave us with a positive legacy. Let the people remember us, seeing us, hearing us. Let the people's memories of us be positive when we leave. وَاجْعَلْهُ الْوَارِثَ مِنَّا. That, O Allah, all of these things, let there be a positive legacy after I'm gone. And of course, a positive legacy, I talked about it on this minbar as well before. It's a sunnah. We should aim for a positive legacy. Having a positive legacy is a part of Islam. We want to have that positive legacy. And then, وَاجْعَلْ ثَأْرَنَا عَلَى مَنْ ظَلَمَنَا. And, O Allah, allow us to get our revenge for those who have wronged us. We're allowed to get revenge. Now, of course, this hadith is in the context of the pagans fighting the Muslims and whatnot. And this is primarily used for the people of the Quraysh and whatnot. And of course, we also use it. And it is meant for those who are harming Islam and whatnot. Oh Allah, allow us to get our revenge from those who have wronged us. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى مَنْ عَادَانَا. And help us against those who oppose us. Meaning again, the Quraysh and the evil people. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا. And O Allah, do not place any musibah in our religion. SubhanAllah, what a beautiful dua. Meaning, musibahs of money, of family, this is trivial. But musibah, when you doubt Allah, when your Islam goes down, that is a musibah, that is the ultimate musibah. Don't put calamities in our religion. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا. We don't want our iman to be shaken. Money comes and goes. Family even. People come and go. But our iman has to remain strong. That's our رأس مال. That's our primary wealth. That's what we really have. So, O Allah, لَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا. Don't make musibas in our deen. In our dunya, it's easier to bear. Musibas in the dunya, everybody gets. But musibas in the deen, that is the ultimate calamity. وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا. Don't make this world our biggest issue that we're thinking about. Our biggest goal. So the one who makes this world his goal neglects what? The akhirah. وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا. Don't make this world our biggest ham. وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. Nor the end of our knowledge. Give us knowledge of the hereafter, knowledge of Islam, knowledge of the Quran. Don't make us only knowledgeable of this world and jahil of the hereafter. And then the final phrase, وَلَا تُسَلِّطْ عَلَيْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا مَلَّا يَرْحَمُنَا. And some riwayat at بِذُنُوبِنَا مَلَّا يَرْحَمُنَا. And O Allah, do not cause others to control us because of our sins. Meaning we want freedom. We want freedom. We don't want to be controlled. And if others control us, it's because of our own sins. And this is a very powerful phrase in light of the modern political reality of the Muslim world. That We don't want to go into this tangent, but we are controlled by others because of our sins. وَلَا تُسَلِّطْ عَلَيْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا مَنْ لَا يَخَافُكَ فِينَا وَلَا يَرْحَمُنَا or مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمُنَا. So, O Allah, don't cause, because of our sins, people to control us, that will have no mercy on us. And these are the two ahadith I wanted to do. And one final point, brothers and sisters, and this is a slightly controversial one, but I will simply say it and leave it at that. The fact of the matter is that dua al-qunut, or the witr, is not an integral part, as we know. The dua al-witr is not an integral part of dua, of witr. It can be done, it cannot be done. It's not necessary. As well, by pretty much the majority, almost all the ulama, they say, the dua can be said in any phrase that you want. You don't have to stick to the prophetic du'as. Meaning it's okay to say any du'as. And if you listen to any of the famous imams around the world, even in the haram, they make their own du'as. They write their own du'as in Arabic and they say them. So the question then arises, must one restrict the du'a to Arabic? Or is it allowed to open the door to other languages? And of course this question didn't arise for so many centuries because everybody spoke Arabic. Even our great-great-grandfathers in our civilizations back home, they learned enough Arabic to understand. But the question arises in modern times when people do not understand Arabic, and knowing that the dua is not an integral part of salah. It's not like Fatiha. It's not like the Takbir or the Subhanallah or the Rabbi al-Azim or whatever, which must be in Arabic. This is something that is in Nafil Salah, in Sunnah Salah, and it's not an integral part. Must one restrict oneself to Arabic? Of course, the predominant opinion of many of our scholars is that let's just keep it safe and stick it to Arabic. Nonetheless, from a technical standpoint, there is nothing that requires us to stick to Arabic, because if an Arab can write any dua in his own version of Arabic, whether it's Khaliji Arabic or Moroccan Arabic or Syrian Arabic, and Arabic itself is not the only language that Allah knows. Allah knows all languages. Then the question arises, where and why would it be wrong to change to other languages? And this is why I myself have asked many ulama this question. Allah bless me to visit many and study with many ulama. And in fact, I visited Sheikh Qardawi, who is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, or one of the greatest ulama alive today. And I visited him in Qatar and I asked him, I only had 10 minutes with him. One of the questions I asked him was this one. I said, Sheikh Qardawi, can we make dua al-qunut in English? And he said, yes, if the imam doesn't speak Arabic, he can make it in English. I said, no, Sheikh, I speak Arabic. I'm speaking to him in Arabic. I speak Arabic, but I'm asking the community, the majority of the community does not understand Arabic. And English is a language that they all understand. So he said, yes, in this case, if the majority benefit from English, then you should make the dua in English. And I asked another very famous alim of Mecca, one of the descendants of the Prophet ﷺ, is a very famous alim in Mecca, Sheikh Sharif Hatim Al-Auni. I asked him as well, the Sheikh, since Qunut can be done in any form, why can't we make it in another language if there is a reason to do so? And he said, yes, of course, for you in America, you will make it in the language of the people. It's not a problem. So just putting it out there that technically speaking, in my humble opinion, there's nothing wrong with doing it in any language. But the fact of the matter is there are many, people are going to be confused and whatnot. That's why, just to stick with that, we're doing it in Arabic. But technically speaking, the dua can be done in any language. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.